Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brady is with us right now on the hotline. Brady, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. Obviously, I wish this was under, you know, better circumstances.
Yeah.
I think, you know, growing up in Columbus, I've always been a Browns fan. Obviously, getting drafted there was a dream come true. But, you know, seeing a guy like Joe Thomas retire, and at one end, I was just appreciative of the opportunity to play with him. But on the other end, you know, as a Browns fan still, you know, it hurts you because you understand, you know, how good he was and what kind of hole he's leaving behind.
Brady, what, you know, you play with him, and we think the team's just going to lose so much, not just from his play on the field, but how he interacted with his teammates and his leadership and just how he really embodied, like, everything that you want out of a professional football player. You know, you saw it every day out of Joe Thomas, and you got to see it now as an ex-player because he's still playing and everything. How much are they going to miss that?
A ton. I think every organization misses, you know, older veteran players who do things the right way. And Joe Thomas, in my opinion, from my experience, and played for 8 years, and he was the best player that I ever played with or against. And that takes into account, you know, some Hall of Famers, guys like Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Fred Polamalu, whoever else you want to throw into that conversation. Joe was the best. And maybe that's partially because I knew him to a better extent. I mean, heck, we roomed together in the hotels the nights before games our rookie year. You know, when I was flying from New York after getting drafted, we went straight to Wisconsin to pick him up, him and his family, and then go to Cleveland together. So I felt like for the first few years when I was there with Cleveland, Joe and I were pretty close. Close with Annie as well, his wife and his family. So, you know, it's just when you lose people like that that are a part of your organization, your team, it takes a huge toll. And I think, you know, Cleveland with the moves that they're making, I love everything John Dorsey has done. And I know last year looks terrible in the win-loss column, but, you know, I feel like they're heading in a better direction.
Yeah.
And that's the toughest part, is not seeing him be a part of it, because
yep.
He deserves that.
Yeah, it's sad because, as you know, you guys won a lot of games 2007, and the Browns have never been over 500 since. Mentioned that, you know, it's not even just the team and the other players and all the offensive linemen that have played with him that have spoken up. But what he means in the community, right? He wasn't from here, but he embraced, you know, being a Clevelander. He became such a part of the community. That's even more than just football.
Yeah, I think those are the things that, again, you know, that's not going to stop, though.
Sure.
And just because he's not playing for the Browns, that's not going to stop. I imagine he would still, you know, be involved in the community to a certain degree and all that. You know, the only difference is you're not going to be able to see him out there on Sundays as much. But look, I think he's got a bright career ahead of him in broadcasting. I talked to him in the offseason a little bit about that. I know he's auditioned for Fox, and he's got his podcast going now. So he's going to be successful whatever he does. You know, he's just that type of person, and he's got that type of drive and that sort of focus. Where I think, regardless, you know, whatever he puts his mind to, he's going to be able to accomplish.
It's sad though that and you were here for a few years that Joe Thomas will go down as one of the greatest Browns ever. He's a surefire Hall of Famer, but he never went to the playoffs, never had, outside of 07 when you guys won 10 games, never had a winning season. Like, it's just really sad, you know?
Well, I think it's sad you leave off on 0-16, though. I mean, that's the saddest thing is, you know, things get tied in that way.
Sure.
But, you know, the toughest part is, you know, being a former quarterback, like, everyone kind of throws on the quarterback position. Like, that's the missing link. That's what we haven't figured out. Like, Joe is the epitome of, like, he's the only guy who's lasted. Like, you can't just put it on one position. Like, what linebacker, what wide receiver, what coach, what GM, what – I mean, we even switched owners in the time frame in which he was drafted there and where they're at now. The organization as a whole has lacked stability, and it's lacked continuity. And all the things that I think any successful business owner, whether it's in the NFL – or any other industry would tell you, like, if you keep having that sort of turnover, you can't have success. And I think one of the reasons why Joe was able to overcome all of that, the turnover, the instability, everything, is the fact that, like, he was ready right away. Like, I played an all-star game with him at the U.S. Army All-American game in high school. He was my left tackle back then. You just knew he was different. He was more mature. He was ready for it, you know, physically, technically. Like, there wasn't things that he really needed to work on. And when he got to the NFL, it was kind of the same thing. And I think because he was so ready right away, physically, mentally, technically, it made the change that, you know, everyone else was going through, it wasn't as big of a deal for him. Because, you know, he was able to adapt to it much easier than I think some of the rest of us who are trying to survive with the constant turnover.
Yeah, Brady, to your point, the Browns do not have with Joe retiring, the Browns do not have a single player on their roster that was drafted by them before 2014. And they only have four players that were drafted by them before 2016. I mean, that's amazing.
It's amazing, and when you think about it, obviously in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I think when people start to sit there and look at, you know, why a quarterback or why any other position or coach or anything else hasn't been successful, that's going to be a big part of it. Is unfortunately, because of where the Browns, when they initially came back in 1999 as an expansion team, it was going to take a while to get this team where it needed to be. And, you know, I think some, you know, we've just kind of lacked patience and we've lacked the inability to realize that, you know, the AFC North is a darn good division. Like, last year was a down year for the AFC North, and I'm not trying to make excuses for it, but, you know, players, when they come into Cleveland or they come into any other AFC North team, I talked to Cordy Glenn earlier today about this. It's a different brand of football, man. It's a more physical, it's a knockdown, drag-out fight for those games when you're playing your divisional opponents. And people don't understand, like, you know, some years there's progress made, even though it doesn't always show up in the win-loss column, just because of how darn good some of like the other organizations are, whether it's Pittsburgh or Baltimore. I know Cincinnati's been down of late, but go back to 2015, go back to the 5 years in a row they're going straight to the playoffs.
Brady Quinn's with us on the hotline. Brady, let's move on to some other stuff because the Browns have made some good moves here. At least we think they're good moves. It started last Friday when, you know, they made like four moves in an hour and a half at the end of our show. It started with Jarvis Landry. They get Tyrod Taylor from Buffalo. They make all these trades, and then they signed a bunch of guys. What do you make of what John Dorsey has done so far, sort of making a little splash here?
Yeah, I love John Dorsey. Like, I kind of wish that guy was like my grandpa or something. He's awesome. You know, yeah. I saw him at the combine. We talked to him and talked to him about his drafting strategy, but he's just a football guy. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to evaluate talent. He's bringing in good football players. I live down in South Florida now with my family, so I've had a chance to see Jarvis Landry and got to know him a little bit when I was there in training camp with him in 2014. He's a good kid. You know, he's a tough football player. He does all the little things right, even the run blocking and all that. I mean, he's a beast, and you guys are going to see he's got a little something to him. And Tyrod Taylor, to me, I don't think gets enough credit for how well he handled everything in Buffalo. Like, you talk about another organization that struggled with turnovers and other issues with their coaching staff and general manager and even ownership. Tyrod was a part of that, and he was able to kind of take them to the playoffs 1 year, kind of just be that calm hand and had a sense of a presence about him. So I think he's immediately going to help with some of that, some of the issues they faced last year. You know, Hubbard obviously coming over from Pittsburgh, he helps kind of fill the gap a little bit with what Joe Thomas leaves behind. I mean, no one's ever going to be able to play up to Joe's ability, but, you know, that at least helps. You look at Carlos Hyde. I think he's one of the most undervalued running backs as far as his overall skill set. You know, a Buckeye coming back home. I'm kind of excited for him to see what he can do in the backfield. And really, when you look at the moves, like a guy like Deshaun Kizer and a guy like Danny Shelton, two guys drafted there, they're going to good situations. You know, Kizer's going to be able to sit in Green Bay with a good organization behind one of the best to ever do it in Aaron Rodgers. Danny Shelton goes to a scheme in New England where he fits, and you get compensation back in return for it. So I just love everything that John Dorsey's done, and I love the fact that he's, like, dictating to the rest of the NFL. Like, that 0-16 record, that's in the past.
Yep.
John Dorsey now is at the control of the wheel, and he's dictating things in the free agency, and he's going to control the draft as well.
Absolutely. We're talking with Brady Quinn. It's a great point. The Browns have been such a passive organization, Brady, in recent years. Wait till next year. We'll take the quarterback next year. The Browns have been aggressive. Some people were complaining that they give him a third-round pick for a guy who might only be their quarterback for 1 year, but we love it, as you said, because he doesn't turn the ball over. He gives them some stability at the position and allows them not to force the guy, and Dustin and I are huge proponents for the Browns taking a quarterback at one. He likes Mayfield. I like Rosen. But, you know, it allows them not to rush a guy into the lineup for once.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought, like, Brock Osweiler, because you already were going to owe him that money.
like, you want to just keep him because he immediately goes to Denver. Then they need him, and he plays over there. So that probably would have benefited Deshaun Kizer, and who knows how that would have impacted his confidence in his play last year and really the team overall. But, yeah, for this year, I think it allows them to have the opportunity for, you know, him to play well. And for Tyrod, honestly, you know, he really never had the type of talent that I think he's going to have between Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, and Corey Coleman. And if Njoku can continue to develop, and that offensive line's pretty solid. Again, Joe Thomas not being there hurts.
Yeah.
But this might be one of the best offenses he's been a part of. So I'm kind of excited for him now, and we'll see what Todd Haley can do with him. But, look, you guys are going to miss out because I think the Browns are taking Sam Darnold number one.
You think
and that,
so?
That says a lot because yeah. he's a USC yeah. guy, and I'm a Notre Dame guy, and that doesn't jive, but I think a lot about the young man.
Okay.
I know, Brady, you mentioned you commented on one of my posts on Instagram about when I put a video up of Darnold, and I told you the turnovers were a concern. You've done a handful of his games. I know you've studied him probably a lot more than me anyway. What do you make of the turnovers and the fumbles and things like that?
It's a little bit overblown because I think people look at the overall, you know, stats and they add up the fumbles and they add up the interceptions and, you know, they kind of look and they go, oh, man, that's a big number. Go back and watch Matt Ryan his last year at Boston College. He was like 17 or 18 interceptions. Like, the guy went number two overall, okay? I think he's done all right in the NFL. You know, sometimes you're put in a position as a quarterback where you're going to have to take chances, you take risks. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sam Darnold was not on a very good football team last year. There's a lot of Buckeyes fans who watched that bowl game, and they watched that defensive line just demolish his offensive line. And try to actually – this is a good trivia question for you guys. Name the last offensive lineman from USC that's been drafted.
Matt Khalil?
No, it's more recent than that, but it's actually Zach Banner, who's a fourth-round pick for the Colts.
I have no idea.
He spent a little time with Cleveland,
yeah,
right?
Okay, yeah.
And if you think about it, he was a fourth-round pick. He got cut that same year.
Yeah.
So bottom line is they really haven't had given him a lot of protection.
Yeah.
So he's made up for a lot of that. But to your point about the interceptions and turnovers, like this year he pressed a little bit too much. I think he'll figure that out. In 2016, that wasn't the case at all. And like for the fumbles, the first game he started I did out in Salt Lake – you know, two of the three fumbles weren't even like in the pocket, ball slipping out or a strip sack or anything like that. One, he was running downfield as he dove. A guy hit him as he was going to the ground. The ball popped out. That has nothing to do with hand size or ball security. One was a bad mesh with the running back. It looked like the running back should have taken it. He didn't. And so that was like, and it was a rainy day too, so it wasn't even great conditions for him in his first start on the road. So, you know, again, I think as you look more into it, the guy's a heck of a player. If they take him, I think he'd be a very good prospect to be a franchise quarterback to Cleveland.
Why Darnold? And even though Dustin likes Mayfield the most and I like Rosen the most, I think we'd both be okay. I wouldn't have a problem with Darnold.
Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys that the Browns take. Hell, even Allen. I'm honestly, Brady, I'm nervous
about Allen.
I'm not picking these guys. They got to make the call. And I think they all have upside and flaws. So
yeah,
I'm
what
like,
about the rest of the guys there, Brady?
Here's what I'd say about Mayfield is, like, how much better can he really get? Like, I know that sounds, like, weird for people to listen to, and they're like, that's a dumb comment. But in all seriousness, you know, some guys, they come into the league, and I think they kind of are what they are. And I think he's a really, really good player. Like, if I was going to rank these quarterbacks based on how they played last year, it'd be Baker Mayfield at number one, in my opinion, and Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Those are the best two college players. But as far as how they translate, that's a different story. And there's some things in his system that he does that are different than what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL level. So we'll see. But, you know, with Josh Rosen, I think he's a ready product right now. Just kind of concerned more about his durability, considering he never really finished the season healthy. So, but, you know, watch his throwing motion. It's flawless. He's a smart, smart kid, very thoughtful. And he's tough. Like, that whole narrative that he can't take a hit. Go back and watch the Texas A&M game this past year in the very beginning. He got his butt kicked for three quarters, and they let him on, like, an epic comeback down the stretch. And then Allen, you know, the only concern there is he's got the highest ceiling, but he might have the lowest floor.
Yep.
And my comp is, and hopefully people don't take this into account for what happened in his NFL career, but, you know, coming out of Washington State, he kind of reminded me of Ryan Leaf, who was a really good prospect, a really good player. That's why he was, you know, taken where he was. Josh Allen has that kind of similar size, ability, arm strength, all that stuff. But I think I'm more concerned about his accuracy than obviously people were with Ryan Leaf. So, they all have their drawbacks. I think the thing with Darnold is he's got the highest floor, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, I think he's the safest, but also has a pretty high ceiling too.
Brady, you know, we talk about the fourth pick. Dustin and I both, you know, think Saquon Barkley is probably, you know, that the Browns will probably go defense instead at four, whether it's Chubb, whether it's Fitzpatrick.
Denzel Ward.
You've covered these guys. What do you got? Who do you think makes the most sense? If you had your choice between those three, obviously they play different positions, but if you had your choice, who are you taking?
Well, I love Saquon Barkley. Let me just first say that.
Yeah.
Like, again, had a chance to cover him, talk with him a decent amount. Love everything about him. I think the better play, because of what you did last year with Myles Garrett, is Bradley Chubb if he's there, because of the type of prospect he is. And then if not him, then you go Minka Fitzpatrick or Denzel Ward. I mean, those are really the three guys I think you should look at. Defensive players tend to have ability to have an impact on the team faster.
Yep.
And I think it's, you know, you're going to see that with any one of those players. Not that Barkley wouldn't. I just think that, you know, look, you're missing a huge piece of your offensive line now. You got to kind of get that chemistry down and get that ironed out. You know, if they end up starting a rookie quarterback, teams are going to stack the box. They're probably going to stack the box regardless of even if Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback to stop the running game and force them to beat him with their arm. So he's going to be running against an uphill battle anyway. I think you're probably better off taking a defensive player who can have an immediate impact and then finding a guy like Nick Chubb or Sony Michel or Darius Geis in the second round, early in the second round, who can have about as big of an impact.
Yeah, Brady, great stuff, man. Way to break it down. Thanks for the insight on Joe. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Brady Quinn.
Go Browns.
Browns. Brady does a great job.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.